Corinne Bloom is a certified life coach and mentor, relationship expert, and co-founder of Evolve, a yoga and wellness center in South Kensington, London. Corinne is passionate about supporting individuals in discovering their authentic self, manifesting their soulmate, and being in the relationship of their dreams, and living the life they truly desire. Corinne sees clients across the globe. She hosts workshops and leads women's circles, and more than a dozen of her articles have been published in yoga magazines, Ethical Pages, and her expert quotes have been featured in Vogue, Red, Natural Health, Women's Fitness, Glamour, and Soul Spirit magazines. Corinne has also been interviewed on the BBC Radio, on Dream Corner, Ministry of Soul, Trace TV, and more. This is our recent conversation.
Corinne Bloom is joining us from London. Corinne, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Relationship Revolution. It is such a privilege to have you join us today.
Thank you, Paula, for the invitation. It's really lovely to be a part of this summit and to talk with you today.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, Corinne, we have been exploring the topic of embracing Love's Paradox, and the work that you do fits so well. You know, we're looking at paradox as sort of holding or sitting with what appears to be opposite, you know, that there's more than one truth in life and in our relationships. And with that, you know, there arises sometimes some really difficult emotions that we have to sit with while we're doing that. How do you help couples to sit with difficult emotions?
The way that I really look at it is, firstly, you know, I think we have this idea that some emotions are good and some emotions are bad. And the way that I like to, I guess, talk about feelings and emotions is it's a little bit like a color wheel that, you know, I might prefer blue to yellow, but I can't say that blue is better than yellow. So I think the first realization is just knowing that whatever we're feeling, even if it's challenging, that it's okay. Because really the suffering or the difficulty comes when we feel like we should not be feeling that emotion. And so not only are we maybe experiencing sadness or jealousy or anger or confusion, but on top of that we feel, I shouldn't be feeling this. And so it's really firstly just connecting to the feeling, and can that feeling be okay? You know, can we just allow that feeling to be there and to ultimately be a messenger? Because often our emotions are an indicator of what's going on for us and is almost a pathway to our deeper truth. So with couples, it's really about holding the space so each individually can feel into their emotion without shame, without guilt, and without blaming or attacking the other person right away. It's really about, can you just sit with your truth and then share that? But you have to really be with it first before you can express it without being triggered or, you know, going into kind of defending yourself. So I found that really just that simple step of being with that emotion and knowing that it's okay is really, really helpful for people.
Right, right. Sounds great. So, you know, you're raising a question as you're speaking. I'm thinking of, so you're talking about maybe being comfortable with perhaps uncertainty. Because we really don't know. Okay. So how do you work with that, Corinne?
Well, again, it's about, you know, not judging our situation and knowing that we can have, as you say, the paradox. We can have simultaneous emotions of feeling like, I love my partner, but also this part of them drives me crazy. Or I love my partner, but this part is really challenging for me. And in that kind of state of, I guess you could say duality or confusion, therein lies the uncertainty, and there's really the, you know, what to do next. And I think when we get scared, we automatically go to wanting to control things. We control our feelings, we try to control the other, And so it comes back to, again, can you just be almost within the vulnerability of just the emotion or emotions that you're feeling? Can you hold both? Can you feel the love and also feel the challenge within it? So it's, you know, we're such creatures of comfort that it's a certain sense of getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. And a lot of that is connecting into the body and just feeling it, because when we, you know, the saying, what we resist persists. So the more that we allow ourselves to feel into it and then to find the words to be able to communicate from that place, it's actually really liberating and very empowering, I would say.
Absolutely, absolutely. Corinne, you talk about something that is so close to my heart and is really sort of the underlying theme of this relationship revolution. And you talk about taking responsibility in relationships.
Mm.
Can you say more about that? Because that is so hard for us. I mean, isn't it easier to blame?
Oh, absolutely. It's easy and it's habitual to get into a triggered state, to defend ourselves and to blame the other. And I think this is actually a much larger topic beyond just relationship. If you look at kind of the paradigm that we've been in, you know, whether it's God or education or parenting, that we've always been looking towards this something, someone on a higher level is going to, you know, tell me what to do or tell me if I'm doing it right or wrong. And so we have this a little bit of a disempowered relationship to what happens to us or, you know, what we experience. And so taking responsibility, especially within a relationship, because a relationship really brings up our stuff, it's a reflection for us, it is challenging because we have to look at, how am I playing a part of this? How am I collaborating or contributing to this dynamic? Because it takes two to tango, you know, and it's really easy to say, okay, you did this and I don't like what you're doing, but that really only gets us into this argumentative state of attack, defense. And when we actually can take responsibility, again, it also ties back to owning our emotions, of saying, this is my experience, this is how I'm feeling, and, you know, maybe I'm not clear about what your intention is, and I'd love to hear what your intention is, but this is the reaction that I'm experiencing. This is how I'm triggered. This is how I show up when I'm triggered. And it really creates space within the relationship to be able to really see and hear each other, rather than just to be in the muddle of kind of, you know, attacks that can come from us. So, you know, responsibility, I think, sometimes has a bit of a negative connotation because we think responsibility is a lot of work and, you know, taking the blame for things. But actually, it's really about, can I own my experience? And when I own my experience, it's hugely empowering.
Right. And can I allow the other to have their own experience, even though I may not understand it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that's beautiful that you say that. It makes me think of, you know, as we're talking about, you know, two truths and paradoxes, there are these images that you can look at where they're black and white, and some people can only see the black image within it, and some people can see only the white, and some can see both. But the point of it is that both are true. Both are truths, but we might not be able to see the other. So it's really, it's a special experience when you can build a certain level of trust with your partner to just honor that whatever their experience is, even if it's different from ours, that is valid in and of itself. And, you know, honoring their feelings and their experience. I think that's really, you know, that's where we really grow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree. You know, I'm so fascinated with your work, Corinne. You talk about also cultivating our intuition. I've noticed, like, recently, as I would consider myself, I guess, middle-aged, I don't know, that I'm noticing that, you know, I can really feel this voice inside of me. I can really hear that voice inside of me. And it's really faint, but I really follow it. And I've noticed that I've been following it, and it's really been creating, like, you know, like I'll hear this voice that, you know, did you lock the kitchen? or did you lock the door, or whatever that voice is, and yeah. I go and I take and say, oh, the door was unlocked, you know. So I imagine that is my intuition. So you actually teach people how to cultivate intuition, right? And so
Yeah, well, you know, first I come from the perspective that we all have intuition. You know, it's something that is innate. And unfortunately, our culture, our society doesn't necessarily support it because we grow up in a very logical, rational, left-brained world, you could say, where we need proof or we need to have reasoning or where things need to be the right answer or else they're the wrong answer. And so people get really afraid of connecting to their intuition because there's great doubt, because they're looking at their intuition from the same perspective that they look at kind of solving problems from a logistical perspective. So actually Sonia Chiquette said this, and I really love this, is that your intuition has no interest in right or wrong. It really is just interested in, does this feel good? And does it feel good for me in this moment? Mm-hmm. And so for me, cultivating intuition is dropping into the body, dropping into our feelings, and you know, letting the mind rest a little, so to speak, that it's not about figuring it out. Mm-hmm. It's not logical, but it's really tuning into our feelings, as you said, and it is very subtle, and that's what's challenging, but the more we can be still and quiet, and, you know, it's about spending time on our own, really tuning in and hearing that voice louder and louder. And I think one thing that I continue to learn, even for myself, about intuition is that it doesn't necessarily come in one big picture. A lot of us kind of ask, okay, what's next? And I want the right answer, and I want the whole image to appear in front of me. And it's more a little bit like connect the dots, you know, that that game that kids play. And you have these dots that, you know, life presents you with one dot and then another and then another, and you connect them, and by the time they're all there, then the image appears. Mm-hmm. And that's really, for me, that's how I see that intuition is built, by trusting your senses and your feelings and that inner guidance in the moment, not trying to expect what's going to happen in the next moment or the next day, but really, what is true for me now, what feels good, and can I act upon that?
Yeah, makes sense. It's a lot of sense. Because I sometimes hear it, you know, and it isn't, you know, a list of things or a big picture. Sometimes it's just something inside nudging me to pay attention.
Yeah.
A certain...
Yeah, and we...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we often hear it. We all often hear it, because sometimes after the fact we go, oh, shoot, I should have listened to that little voice. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about just practicing it, you know, and practicing it with things that are low risk. So an example that I use is when you go shopping for food, instead of just going on habit and routine and what you have on your list, actually walk through the aisles and tune into your body and see what it feels like it needs, or what is it drawn towards, and then just go with that. It's just about cultivating that relationship with it so that we trust. And the more we listen to it, knowing that it's okay if we follow it and maybe it leads us in the wrong direction, or that we make a mistake, or that we fail, because there really is no failure. But it's just about, you've got to take the step forward. You know, it's like when we want to dive off the diving board, we're going to be inching along and inching along. At some point, we have to just leap. So it's similar in that sense of just you know, being with it day in and day out. It's a continual practice.
Right. And you mentioned something that was really important, and it's important to sort of my understanding of what this relationship revolution is about. And it's about being okay with failure. You know, I get a lot of couples that come to see me, and they're so afraid that they're going to fail or have failed. Can you talk more about that? Because you talk about making mistakes with grace. And
yeah.
Yeah, that it's so easy to to beat up on ourselves and to feel shame and to not want to move past or not be able to move past that. That failure is, in essence, a part of the process, that we need to maybe think about failure in a different way. Can you help us think about that or share your thoughts?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I think this comes back to what I was saying initially of getting out of this good, bad, right, wrong paradigm and seeing that that's a little bit about how we've grown up, you know, kind of praise, reward, or punishment. And so failure is, it seems like it's not okay and it seems terrifying. And I learned a lot about failure when I used to be a professional ballet dancer and dancing with the San Francisco Ballet, and this was years ago, and you're under so much scrutiny, and you know, really the perfectionist in you comes out, because of course it's an art, it's a skill, and there is that refinement, but I learned that within that, the expectations were so high that there just was no room for failure. But as I suffered an injury and left, I really realized that failure, if we can redefine it, is where we grow and expand the most, because it's not really a failure. It's just showing us a different side. It's showing us something that we're perhaps not as comfortable with or that we don't know as much, and so that we need to learn from it. And if we're so focused on making mistakes or failing, we become very rigid, both kind of metaphorically and physically speaking. I'd say that we don't allow for any fluidity to come through us. And so then, as you're saying, it's like couples are so afraid of failing that they will, they won't even express what's going on in the moment. And so then time builds up and they haven't really been truthful or honest or open, and then it does look like the relationship fails, but it doesn't fail because they did anything necessarily wrong. It maybe doesn't work out because that courage of being in the moment and ultimately being vulnerable, knowing that every emotion is okay, that opportunity wasn't there. Because when we're vulnerable, when we're open, when we're not governed by the fear of making a mistake or failing, then we can communicate, and from there there's space, there's fluidity, things can shift and change. So it's I think failure is married to perfection, and we have to believe or understand that there really is no such thing as perfection, that even nature is imperfect, and actually that's what makes it perfect. So it's coming back to, you know, actually, really, even, am I good enough? Am I worthy? You know, and do I know that I'm good enough and worthy, even if I do something and I have a reaction that I don't like, or that it feels like I made a mistake or I fell, and, you know, I learned to get up again because that resilience is there, because I trust myself and I believe in myself. And so it comes back to the relationship with ourselves, and do we feel like we're okay? If that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. And you did bring up, which was my next question, which has to do with resilience. You know, I work with children in my practice as well, and we always talk about, you know, children are so resilient. And I think I think adults are as well. You know, we just have such a flexibility if we would allow ourselves to sort of enter into that. Can you talk about, you know, sort of finding that, the resilience and cultivating that as well?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've really been loving talking about this theme, resilience, lately, because I'm actually 6 months pregnant. And,
wow.
Yeah. So I don't have a little one yet, but I'm learning a lot that
you're
children
learning
and even babies are very resilient. But just a very quick story of my experience about resiliency is my partner and I for the last couple of years have been wanting to move out of London, and we made a big move to Spain to live a very different life, and kind of what we thought we would want and how I envisioned, you know, wanting to be pregnant. And when we got there and I actually became pregnant, I realized that my needs were completely different than what I had envisioned. And that actually became, long story short, very clear that we had to come back to London. And it was a hugely stressful time in the sense of we had just set up home and it was literally we had to, you know, take that all down and come back to London and essentially start over. And I learned that resilience is about, again, staying in the moment and knowing that we are taken care of and knowing that we are guided and actually just trusting the deeper need more than what we think we want, more than what we think it should look like. Because it's very hard to be resilient when we have these hard defined ideas that this is what life should look like, and when it doesn't show up like this, then it's not okay, you know, or I failed, or I'm going in the wrong direction. It's really about having that buoyancy, and again, I'd use the word fluidity, of just allowing ourselves to be guided and just to be present in that. And again, coming back to what do I need in this moment and how do I take care of myself and can I be really honest with how I'm feeling? So in the process, there were times where I'd go, I'm really confused or I'm really scared or I'm overwhelmed and stressed, but can that be okay? And whenever I would settle into that, that would give me that sense of resiliency because it's like, yes, I am okay. So I was okay to take the next step and then the next step. And then, you know, things have unfolded beautifully. But it was a combination of everything, of trusting my intuition, of listening to my needs, of my body, and practicing resiliency in the sense of being flexible with what life presents you with.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well said. And congratulations on us being 6
Thank
months.
You. Thank you. It's very exciting.
Yes. So any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listening audience? You know, I know there's people struggling, you know, with various issues and situations in life. What would you like to leave our audience, our listening audience, with? How might you inspire them?
Yeah, I think the biggest message that I would want to share is to know that whoever you are and whatever you're experiencing within yourself and within your relationship, that it's okay, and that who you are is okay and good enough, and it's like letting the shame of it all soften and subside, and that it's okay to ask for support, and that it's actually really empowering to talk about things, and even the things that scare us the most or that, you know, seem like they're dark, that there isn't anything that cannot be resolved or transformed just simply by being in the truth of it. And so it's really about having a very compassionate and kind relationship to yourself and to your partner, and knowing that, you know, we all know that it's hard enough to be human by ourselves on our own, and that, you know, adding that to the dynamic of a relationship and what I call the third entity, which is the relationship itself, that it's very complex and there's a lot there, but really it's just showing up in ways that it's okay and it is workable. And it just takes a bit of belief and kindness and self-acceptance in the process. So, yeah, I think my biggest message is just, you know, can who you are be okay? Can it be enough? And then all of a sudden things begin to be more possible.
Thanks, Corinne. So I know that there are members out in our listening audience that would like to maybe contact you or follow your work. How might they do that?
Yeah, so in a few different ways. My website, which is www.corinnebloom, which is BLUM.com. I have a Facebook page. I have a YouTube channel with videos that I put out pretty much every week, which is Corinne Bloom Life Coach. And I have several articles that come out in different editorials, but, you know, the best thing is just to go to my website, and that will kind of link out to all of the different platforms that I'm on.
Okay. Corinne, thank you so much for being with us on the Relationship Revolution, where we're talking about embracing paradox. I want to thank you so much. It's such a great pleasure to get to know you a little bit and get to know a little bit about your work. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure. It's an honor. Thank you for asking me.
You've been listening to The Relationship Revolution, where we've been discussing the topic Embracing Love's Paradox. The paradox is if we allow ourselves to sit with the discomfort, the tension of the opposites, that is the yes and the no, the light and the dark, often a third and surprising solution comes along that is better than any option we can imagine. If you've enjoyed this conversation, you can upgrade to VIP access. VIP access allows you to download and keep all the interviews to listen to at your leisure. To upgrade to VIP, go to www.paulasmith-relationshiprevolution/VIP. If you'd like to let your friends know about this free event series, go to www.paulasmith-relationshiprevolution.com or Facebook, key in Imago Providence.